In the early part of the 20th century, Americans flocked to hear the voice of a famous Irish tenor, and John McCormick sold millions of records. You might say he was the Bono of his day. For our year-long series, 50 Great Voices, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg rediscovers John McCormick and some of her own past.
I am old, but I wasn't always. This story is from the time my father was old, at least to me, his little girl. Dad, one Robert Levitt, was always up on the latest things. In that age of easily broken 78 RPM shellac phonograph records, he came home one day with a red plastic-looking disc, said, "Here's a new record," reached it across to me, and before I could grab it, quite deliberately let it drop to the floor. It didn't break, which was how I learned about vinyl long-playing records. But my father held on to his 78s. He played his beloved old Caruso records over and over again, and another tenor who sounded like this. John McCormick, the Irish tenor, captured the heart of my father and so many music lovers the world over. And because Daddy loved McCormick, I naturally did not. Every time he put his scratchy McCormicks on the phonograph, I rolled my eyes and went off to read a book. I was into Sinatra and Broadway musicals and later jazz. Certainly not this. Although I did once use John McCormick in an NPR story, it was a piece about crooner Bing Crosby, the easygoing, laid-back pop superstar of his day. Explaining the Crosby phenomenon, jazz singer Mel Torme reminded listeners of what singing was like when Bing started out in the 1920s.
Singers prior to Bing Crosby were very stiff about songs. They didn't take liberties with the melody.
Before Crosby, there were the fussy, formal, European-style operatic singers like John McCormick.
Piles of letters arrived from angry listeners. What do you mean fussy? McCormick was a genius. Unfazed, John McCormick remained not my cup of fine breakfast blend until his name popped up on our 50 Great Voices list and got me poking around a bit. The thing that's in my head, and really that brought me to this story, is Makushla.
Oh, I mean, that's a wonderful recording.
This is Anthony Kearns, one of the Irish tenors' performers.
The sadness in it, and the longing, and the wanting, it just draws at the heart.
It's the song my father played the most, the one I rolled my eyes at, until now, all these years later, when it draws my heart, unexpectedly, in so many ways.
My blood.
If you listen to the early recordings for the Victor label, okay, you hear the crackling in the background. People used to describe it as frying of the rashers, the bacon and the sausages, but you hear his quality of singing and the style that the man had, and in particular the way he could interpret the story in the song.
McCormick's biographer, Gordon T. Ledbetter, agrees.
I would say without any question or doubt that he was the greatest musician amongst singers.
McCormick's voice was at its peak from 1910 to 1920, Ledbetter says. He sang from the heart and the head, spontaneously and cerebrally. He could sing anything, from opera to German Lieder to Danny Boy. Again, tenor Anthony Kearns.
His breath control, his diction, the quality of the voice, and with such ease that he manages to sing and bring it right down to a pianissimo and can control his instrument.
In addition to the voice, biographer Gordon Ledbetter says handsome John McCormick had a sparkling personality.
A man of tremendous charm. I'm reminded a little bit of John Kennedy. He had that same boyish sort of charm, charismatic.
McCormick was extravagant too. Money burned a hole in his pocket.
He had, I think, 13 Rolls Royces. He had a string of racehorses. He had a big art collection.
Lived like a rock star. Sang, yes, like an angel, in crowded halls, without a microphone.
I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, born like a vapor on the summer air.
Today's Irish tenor, Anthony Kern, says the world has, by and large, forgotten John McCormick. His career ended in the 1930s, his voice diminished, the new casual American singing style in vogue. But listening to him now, either for the first time or again, like me, enveloped in the loves and losses of life's lessons, the beauty and sadness and presence can lull us to another world.
Can you imagine? I would love to be back in the day, the drawing room ballad, sitting in a nice country Irish house, listening to John McCormick with a Steinway piano performing those songs.
I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
I sigh for a genie, but
you can hear some of John McCormick's recordings at nprmusic.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly.